I'll start off by reading verses, let me just start off with reading verse 1 and then share some thoughts about that. You found your spot? If so, say amen. All right. Paul writes this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." When Jesus Christ is alive in us, he works in us to make us new. He works in us to make us new. Another way of thinking about that is that he transforms us. Now, that same word, that same idea of transformation is put into the scriptures in Romans 12 and verse 2, where Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." And the word there is the same word that we get our word metamorphosis. So there's a change that Paul is referring to when he talks about being transformed. It's a change. So in recent conversations, I've talked with some that talk about this kind of a change, that Jesus, his work in us, is making us new and different. New and different. That's transformation. And it's Jesus' work in us, him living in us, him alive in us, that brings about that kind of transformation or that kind of metamorphosis. So that the old is gone and all things are made new. Again, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, verse 17, that the old is past. Behold, all things are becoming new. And then if you were to go on beyond that to verse 18, it says, all of this is from God. It's God that is doing this work of renewing, of making new. It is God that is working in us to cause the old to pass away. I don't think I'm the only one in the room that has some old stuff that needs to pass away. This week, as we worked in some of these storage buildings, there were some old things that finally passed on. Finally, were moved out of the way, and some of it was put in a dumpster, maybe a lot of it. But it's that idea that God is working in us to cause old things to pass away. This is God's work. It's important to know that God is at work bringing about the transformation that Ephesians 4 talks about. Living a life worthy. Living a life worthy. Now, when you hear that phrase, we might think about living a worthy life. We might think about it as striving to live a moral life. Nothing wrong with that. Or we might think about living a life worthy as we might understand it as trying to rid ourselves of sinful habits. Again, nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I think both of those, striving to live a moral life and seeking to rid ourselves of sinful habits, I think all of that is very, very much in tune with the life that God has for us. But here, when Paul is talking about living a life worthy, it is focused more on what it is that God is doing in you and in me, and less on what it is that you and I are doing in our own strength of will or our own strength of character. I want us to pick up on that God is at work. God is at work transforming us, enabling us, empowering us, equipping us to live a life worthy, okay? Ephesians 4 tells us that God is at work doing amazing things in us that only he can do. There are some things that we can do for sure. I mean, I was again having another conversation with someone. We were talking about, you know, some things that we felt like needed to be done. And one perspective was that, well, God's given us hands and given us feet and given us strong backs and a good brain that operates for us to do the things that God wants to be done. Can't argue with that. But then there's also this perspective that says, yes, there are things that I can do, and according to God's prompting, in obedience to Him, there are things that God wants me to do. Yes, with my hands and my feet and my back and my brain. That's what this week was about. That's what our acts of service that we are involved in on a regular basis are about. It's us putting into action what the Lord has laid on our hearts to do. But there are some things that only God can do. And if we were to try to do them, we would fall short. There are things that only God can do. And in this passage, I believe that Paul is suggesting that living a life worthy is something that God is fashioning in us. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 2, you see where Paul talks about that we are God's workmanship. And so He is working in us. He has something that He is fashioning in us that is beyond anything that we do. He is doing it. Okay. It's important to know now, I want to point out, of who God is to Paul. This is very important to me as I think about living a life worthy. Paul talks about God, and he talks about God in a particular way. And he talks about Him this way, that God is best known as the best kind of father. God is best known as the best kind of father. So when he's talking about God, I want to suggest that Paul is really talking about his Father, his heavenly Father. If we were to look back in chapter 3 of Ephesians, we would see verses 16 through 19. It's in the context of a prayer that Paul is offering, but he's also talking about the kind of father that we have in God. Verse 16 says that God is the kind of good father that strengthens us out of His incredible riches in heaven, riches that we cannot even fathom. No way we could ever understand or comprehend the fullness of the riches of God in heaven. And Paul says that this Father, this God, is strengthening us out of His great riches in heaven. Now, that's an endless supply of strength. And that's a good kind of Father, the best kind of Father, that is giving us, strengthening us with all of the riches that we don't even know about. But God is strengthening us. Paul goes on, verse 16, that this Father's Spirit gives us power in our inner being. So God is working in us. We don't always know it or see it, but He's working in our inner being through the Spirit's power to bring about what I believe is that new creation. God is always working on us, working in us to make us that new creation, that old passing away. Sometimes only God can make that old pass away. And He does it. He does it. He does it. You might say, well, Pastor, there's some old things that are kind of clinging on to me, and I can't seem to get rid of it. I can't tell you exactly how it is that God causes the old to pass away, but I believe He does. I believe that it's a matter of our own faith in Him, our own reliance and trust in Him, turning to Him and asking Him for help in those areas of our lives, calling out for Him and asking Him through His Spirit to fill us, to move the things out of our lives that need to be moved out. Part of that is the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. When we know that we've done something or said something, or our mind has been off in a gutter somewhere, and the Holy Spirit convicts us and says, child, that's not what you should be doing. That's not what you should be thinking. There's a better way. So that conviction of the Holy Spirit is one way that God helps to allow the old to pass away. Verse 17 talks about this kind of father that Paul refers to, that He makes Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. When we talk to children about receiving Christ, we talk about them receiving Him in their hearts. Well, it's God that causes Christ to dwell in our hearts. That's a good Father that does that. He goes on that Christ's love, the Father plants Christ's love deep in us. And He uses these four words to describe this kind of love, or the volume of it, of how wide it is, how long it is, how high it is, and how deep it runs. Basically, what that's saying is that the volume of God's love is really unsearchable. You can't calculate it. You can't predict it. It's just a tremendous volume of love that the Heavenly Father makes available to us in Christ. A love that surpasses knowledge, Paul says. This is the kind of good father that Paul is referring to when he's talking about the work of God transforming us. So it's coming, that transformation is coming from a God that loves us beyond what we can comprehend, rather than a God that is trying to beat us into, like a piece of metal, beating us into the formation that he wants us. God forms us by his love. So this is the God that's working in us to cause us to live a life worthy. God is working in us to cause us to live that worthy life. So everything that God does toward you and me grows out of his love. That's why Jesus called him Abba, Father. That's a very personal and close and approachable name for God, Abba. That's why I'm always encouraging people to receive more and more of God's love in their lives. Because his love changes us. His love transforms us. We do that by faith, believing that God's love for you and for me is experienced in Jesus Christ. That you can't earn it and you can't lose it. And that his love is what transforms us into new and different people than we used to be. Now, Paul speaks about this transformation in chapter 4 and verse 1 in two ways, and I want to give these to us today. First, Paul speaks of his own transformation when in verse 1 he uses the term prisoner to describe his relationship to Jesus Christ. Paul also talks in other places about being a bondservant. He talks about being a slave to Jesus. And so this idea of this kind of relationship to Jesus Christ that really speaks to transformation that God brought about in Paul's life. Paul was transformed by Jesus. It was a complete metamorphosis. And this happened one day as he traveled to Damascus. You know the story. If you've been a part of the life of the church, this is a story that would be familiar to you. If not, it perhaps is a new story. But Paul is traveling to Damascus. He's going there to arrest Christians and to shut down the new churches there. He's traveling from Jerusalem to Damascus. And on his way, he has a moment where he has a vision that interrupts his journey. And in a few days, he becomes blind, and in a few days becomes aware that as he regains his sight and as he regains his composure and reflects on it, that he becomes aware that his complete identity had changed. Not because Paul chose it, but because Jesus Christ caused it. From being blinded to regaining his sight, Paul stepped out into a new life, no longer a Pharisee of the Jews, but now a prisoner of Jesus. New future, new identity, new life in Christ. Paul's life now belonged to Jesus Christ. Jesus was in charge, and Paul knew it, and Paul submitted to it. And that's where we begin in living a worthy life. We submit to Jesus. We lay our lives down so that he can live his life in us and through us. We submit ourselves and our ways to Jesus Christ. And when that can begin to happen in us, because we've got to work with God. God doesn't always cause us to be submissive to him. We have to choose that kind of submissive attitude toward God. And so when we submit ourselves and our ways to Jesus, a new identity begins to take shape. A metamorphosis that God begins to bring about as Jesus Christ lives in us. Praise the Lord. Until we lay ourselves down and let Jesus be in the lead, we will fall short of living into the calling that he has for us. And that's the second way that Paul speaks about transformation, that He has called us, not just me as a pastor, not just some of you as Sunday school teachers or life group facilitators or other kinds of ministry-related leadership positions. God has called us in Christ Jesus. And so that sense of calling then is God's way of bringing about transformation in us. Sometimes we think, well, that's somebody else's job. That's a missionary's job. That's a pastor's job. No, it's not a job. It's a calling. And that calling comes from God. It's not just an altruistic attitude that you want to help the world. No, it's a calling from God that you can't ignore. Maybe you can't ignore it, but you can't ignore it and be happy. It's a call of God upon us that we should pay attention to. And Paul talks about this as a kind of transformation. Verse 1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of what? Of the calling you have received. That is what Paul is getting to when he talks about living a life worthy. It is being aware of and acknowledging this call that we have received from God. Another way that that phrase can be, or that verse can be translated, is this: I urge you, or I exhort you, to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. It's like a double reinforcement there. Live worthily so that you can walk in this calling that you have been called to. I like how that translation reads. Living a life worthy begins with us recognizing that we are all called, each one of us. No one gets a pass. Let me share the ways that I believe each one of us is called. You can jot these down. I've got them kind of phrased in a way that will be easy to recall. The first is this, comes out of verse 1. We are called to belong. This calling that we have received, that we've been called to, we are called to belong. That kind of belonging is that we are called to respond to Jesus Christ and to give our lives to Him in submission, to receive Him as our Lord, our Savior, as the leader of our lives, entering into a personal relationship with Jesus, and then how Jesus enters us into relationship with one another as believers in Him. We are called to belong. Belonging is not just being a member of a church. Belonging is being present and participating, being an active part. And we'll see that in verse 16, Paul talks about being a part. But this idea, this first way of understanding our calling is that we are called to belong. The second is this, as seen in verses 2 through 6, that we are called to be united. Now, when I say united, I don't mean that we're all cut out of the same mold and we believe all the same things and we talk all the same ways. No. It's that the Holy Spirit present and at work in us brings about a kind of unity, that we are united in particular kinds of ways. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That right there is the foundation upon which being united rests upon. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the what? Spirit. Through the bond of peace. There is one body. There is one Spirit, or Holy Spirit. Just as you were called into one hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So our calling is to be united in Christ. Christ unites us. He binds us together. Individuals bound together in Christ Jesus. How else are we called? Thirdly, we are called to be sacrificial. Without reading the verses, verse 7 through 13, I think, lead us to a sacrificial life, giving of ourselves, giving and leaning into that calling and gifting that God places upon us. And it is a sacrificial life. We're also, fourthly, called to be maturing. The intent of the Christian life is to be growing and maturing. It is not to remain stuck in one place. We are growing. And I'll go back to the words that Paul used. Spiritually and in other ways, we are growing in Christ, maturing in Him, growing wide and long and high and deep, not stuck in one place. That's what we're called to. And Paul makes it crystal clear that we are called to be maturing in Christ. Why is that? So that the body of Christ can be built up and edified and strengthened. And so we are called, all of us are called to be maturing believers in Christ. Lastly, we are called to work our part. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as what? Each part does its work. We are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. To serve him, to serve each other, to serve the people that live near us and around us in this world. We are called to work our part. Not an observer. Not an observer. A participant. You see, in the body, we don't have any parts that just sit around and watch. Every part of us does its work to make the body function and to make it healthy, relatively speaking. Every part of the body does its part. And the same thing here. You were not saved to sit. You did not become a member of this church just because you thought it was a great place, a friendly place, a beautiful place. You are a part of this church from the youngest of us to the oldest of us. You are a part of this church to do your part. Now, again, this is not of your doing. This is of God's calling. And so what I recommend is not that you start asking about what you can do to get active and involved in the church. My recommendation is that you start with prayer. Say, Lord, I want to do your part. I want to do my part. I know that you've called me. I don't fully understand that calling, but I want to do my part. I want to be a participant, not an observer, so that the body can be strong and built up. And so, Lord, you show me what my part is. I'm open to it. I'm open to being submissive to you and to obeying you. But each one, we are called to do our part. Christ alive in me, it changes and transforms us from the inside out. It is God's work. I become a new person with a new identity in Christ. Paul points to a new identity as a prisoner of Christ, and I really believe that that identity that is attached to Paul really applies to each one of us. We are all prisoners of Christ. And the greatest, I guess, disappointment in my life is that I've lived too long a prisoner to myself or a prisoner to other things or other people rather than a prisoner to Christ. That identity is not just Paul's. I believe it is every believer's identity. We are prisoners of Christ. He has bought us with a price, a high price, and we are his, and we are prisoners of Christ. As I grow in Christ, he does the amazing work in me of growing me toward maturity. It's a process for sure, but we need to be on that journey toward spiritual maturity. Of him making my life worthy and helping me to play my part in the body. I want to leave us with a few questions. You can jot these down or maybe just reflect on them. What would change in you, in your behavior, in your priorities, in your future direction, if you identified as a prisoner of Christ Jesus? What would change in you? Another question. What is God the Father calling you toward as you walk with him? What is God the Father calling you toward as you walk with him? What part does he have for you to play in serving his church, serving Him, serving the community around us? These are not quick and easy questions to answer, but I pray that they'll be questions that we can reflect on, and especially in conversation with the Lord, and let Him speak to us and lead us. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for this good day and this day of worship, this time together to lift up our songs and our praise to You. We pray that it's been received by You and it has honored You, Lord, in our prayers and in our testimonies today about our mission trip. Lord, as we've opened up Your word from Ephesians 4, I pray, Lord, that You'll continue to speak Your word to us, help us to understand it and to apply it. And Lord, You do the work in us that only You can do to cause us to live that life that is worthy of the calling that we have received from You. To that end, Lord, we give ourselves fully devoted to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a closing song today.